Are you ready for a revival? Are you looking for revival to take place in your life and in your heart? I hope that you are today. I told you at the beginning, well, let me say this first. I appreciate Danny Moore filling in last Sunday morning, Chuck filling in last Sunday evening, and giving Leanne and I an opportunity to get away and refresh a little bit and just enjoy a little time together that we don't get very often. It was a good weekend, and I thank you for allowing us to get away for that time. As I said yesterday, I went to see a lacrosse game for the first time, and don't understand the game a whole lot, but I realized from what my brother told me that it's a mixture of just about every other sport. And you could kind of see that as it went along. It was invented by the Native Americans, the Indians. They used to play it, and they would play it all day long. Yesterday, the flag flew and a whistle blew, and I heard the official call out the word failure. And I turned to my brother and I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "I don't know." And the only thing I can figure is the guy, they were fighting for the ball. They have these long poles, if you've ever seen lacrosse, with a little net on the side. You watch a 9-year-old boy swing their poles, and it looks like a dangerous little game. They wear their helmets and everything. But the only thing I can figure is one of them had the ball pinned to the ground and was not trying to get it up. He was just stopped. Stopping the game, stopping everything. That happens in our lives sometimes, doesn't it? We have failure. We get to a point and we think we're okay and we want to hold serve where we are. We want everything to stay just like it is. We want not looking for change, not looking for something to be different. We're trying to hold everything just the way it is. But what we realize, I hope, in our lives and in our church family, when things begin to sit still, we are not doing what God would have us to do. If we're trying to stay just the way we are, we're not growing in our lives as Christians and in our service for Jesus Christ as a church. The word vive means life. Before you can be revived, you got to be vived. You got to have life. That life comes in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us that life through going to the cross, shedding His blood, being placed in the grave, rising from the grave, and we accept that into our lives. We accept Him into our lives, believing that He has done all this for us, confessing our sin before Him, realizing that it is only through His blood that we have the forgiveness of sin. Now, we don't ever lose that, but as Christians, there are times we do need to be revived. We get kind of settled into where we are. We get kind of beaten down sometimes by the world, by the things that happen. We let circumstances affect how we live our lives for Jesus Christ instead of allowing Him to work in and through us as He sees fit. As we talk about revival, what we want to realize is this. We're having a group of meetings beginning next Sunday morning. 5 services that will be together with Michael, and we call that revival. But that doesn't mean revival takes place, and I hope you realize that. Revival takes place when things begin to change in our lives and in our hearts. When we begin to get to a point where we realize that we can't continue in the ways that we're going, but we've got to allow God to do a work in our lives, in our families, in our church, and allow Him to do the things that He longs to do. As we get to Psalm 85 this morning, we need to take a look at where we are and what's going on. And are we just going through the motions? Why are you here this morning? Some people are here because it's what we do every Sunday. We come to church, we sit in a pew, we go from here to Sunday school, we go home, and we get on with our day. And nothing ever changes. The same attitudes, the same ways that we go about doing things, the world doesn't see a difference in who we are and the things about our lives. And the psalmist in chapter 85, he's looking for something. And he says, O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away from your burning anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Israel needed revival. Israel needed revival to take place. They needed something to happen in their nation. They were looking and longing and searching. This was a nation that had seen all of God's glory and all of God's work. They had seen Him bring them out of captivity in Egypt to a land that He had promised them. They had seen Him bring them up and rise them up as a nation for the world to see God at work in their lives. They had seen it. They had felt it. They had celebrations to remind them of the things that had taken place. But as nations tend to do, they turned from God. They began to look around at what others were doing. They began to look at how others were doing things and thought, you know, they'll accept us more if we'll be more like them. If we'll take in their traditions, if we'll do the things that they do, if we'll worship their gods, they'll like us more. They turned from God. They turned away from the God who had brought them to where they were and had made them a great nation for the world to see God's glory in their lives. They had turned from the God of all creation to worldliness, to selfishness, to pride. They had begun to do things in their own way. They had turned from God. They were needing deliverance. Do you see that in the prayer that he prayed? How long are you going to be angry with us? How long are you going to look at us in this way? How long are we going to pay this price? They needed deliverance. They needed a deliverance that they could not bring about themselves, that they could not do for themselves. They needed deliverance from God. They needed deliverance from where they had turned and a relationship that they had messed up to bring them back into a right relationship with God. This is what the psalmist is longing for here. He's longing for that right relationship to come back. He's praying for revival. Do you see in verse 4 where he says, "Restore us, O God of our salvation." Restore us. Restore us back to where we were. Restore us to the things that were great in our lives. Restore us back to where we can bring honor to you. Restore us. And then he comes back again in verse 6 and asks this question: will you not yourself revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Will you revive us? Israel was at a point they needed revival. And they were beginning to turn to where revival takes place. They were turning back to God. They were turning to look to Him. They were turning with a longing for His face, for the things that He would bring. Israel needed revival. Folks, we live in a nation right now that needs revival. America needs revival. We need a revival to take place. We live in a nation that has turned from God. We used to talk about a nation that was a Christian nation. We used to talk about a nation that loved God. We used to talk about a nation where people wanted to be together as the people of God and worship together joyfully, singing praises to God, studying the Word of God together, enjoying that time together. We used to have a nation that loved God, but our nation has turned. As we look at our nation today, it's almost unrecognizable, even from 10, 15, 20 years ago. Things have changed. There's a lot of hate in this nation. There's a lot of pride in this nation. And not the right kind of pride. Selfish pride. We live in a nation right now that doesn't look like what it used to. We see things happening in our nation today that used to you'd think were only for the third world countries. But they're happening here. And they're happening now. People are fussing and fighting and feuding. People are looking and longing and hoping. We need deliverance. We need deliverance. We need deliverance as a nation just as Israel did. Just as this nation needed to turn back to God, so do we. We need to turn back. We need to look. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for those that are in leadership positions right now. From our president, vice president, Congress, the judges, our governor, our state legislature, our mayor, our council here in town. We need to pray. We need to pray for these folks. It's what the Bible tells us to do, isn't it? To pray for them. To lift them up. To pray that they'll have wisdom in decisions that are being made. That those decisions will be godly decisions. We need to pray for revival. Just as the psalmist is praying for revival. Revive us again. Change our hearts. Change our lives as a nation. But folks, I want us to understand this. Revival is not going to come to America because of politics. I don't care which side you sit on. Politics is not going to bring revival back to America. If we're looking for a president to do it, we're looking in the wrong place. If we're looking for our government to make these changes, we're looking in the wrong place. Because, folks, Wilsonville Baptist Church needs revival. And I believe it is the church that will lead our country back or allow our country to continue to slide. I believe it falls on us. And we'll be talking about that at the very end of this message. But Wilsonville Baptist Church needs revival. Would y'all agree with that this morning? Hey, thank you. Because that's the first step. We've got to realize we need it. We've got to realize something needs to change. And it's not in that person sitting next to us. It's not in that leader of our Sunday school class. It's not in our church staff. It's in each individual. Now, when I'm saying it that way, I'm not saying that things don't need to change in my life and the church staff and each leader in the church. What I'm saying is we've got to get down to the point where it's about me. But we're going to get there in a minute. Our church needs revival. Y'all may get upset with me a little bit this morning. But I want us to grasp a hold of some things today. I see a lack of a burden here. A lack of a burden for lost people. A lack of a burden for our community around us. How long has it been since you've invited somebody to come to church with you? How long has it been since you told somebody about Jesus? I was over at the Newmans last night, and a little girl walked up to me, 6 years old. She looked at me, and they introduced me as Presley's grandfather because she's in Presley's class. And that girl looked at me and said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" She had no idea who I was. She didn't know anything about me except that I was Presley's papa, and she knows Presley. Do you go to church anywhere? We've lost that. We've lost that as we talk to people and share with people. Well, I might offend them. They might not want to hear about it. They might, folks, it's not what they want to hear, it's what they need to hear. Now, if they tell you they don't want to hear it, you tell them fine. You don't try to push Jesus on people, but you do try to share him with people. But he needs to be seen in our lives. We have a lack of burden for the lost. I've been here almost 20 years as your pastor. From 1997 to 2007, we averaged baptizing, which is just saying that these are people that we have reached out to and seen them come to Jesus Christ, around 40 people per year. Around 40. 2007, we baptized 63 people. We saw a lot of people coming to know Jesus Christ. Something happened, and I'm still trying to figure out what it is that caused us to lose that burden and begin to stop doing what we've been doing. And I think it has to do with that penalty flag that was thrown and that whistle blown and the referee hollering, "Failure!" Because we got to a point where we were happy. We got to a point where we thought everything good. I don't have to work at this anymore. I don't have to push forward anymore. I don't have to tell people about Jesus anymore because we've arrived. And what happens when we get to that point as Christians where we think we've arrived? Exactly. Nothing. Since 2007, we've been averaging probably 7 to 10 baptisms per year. And there's thousands of lost people right outside the doors of this church. We've got a lack of burden for lost people. We've got a lack of burden about sin. Now, I'm not talking about the sin of everybody else in the world because, buddy, we can talk about that, can't we? We can point out what's going on in Montgomery, and we can point out what's going on in Washington. We can point out what's going on in Chicago and Los Angeles and New York. But don't look at what's going on in my house. Don't look at what's going on in my heart. Folks, we need to get to a point where sin absolutely breaks our hearts. We kind of excuse it many times. There's a lack of a burden. If we want revival to take place in our church family, we need to get on our knees and let God know we have failed you. We have failed you in sharing your word. We have failed you in sharing your love. We have failed you as a body of Christ. We have a lack of a burden in our life. We have a lack of fellowship. Now, don't get me wrong. We have groups of people that fellowship pretty well. But don't try to get in that group if you're out. You know, I have people tell me all the time, when you move to Wilsonville, it's hard to get in. It's hard to feel like you've been accepted. It takes a long time. Folks, that shouldn't happen in a community, but it definitely should never happen in a church. We need to be welcoming and loving and caring. But we don't know people. We don't know the burdens and the needs of people. We look around and we have acquaintances. We know who people are. We know what people do. But we don't really know what's going on in their lives. We don't have the fellowship that the Bible speaks of, where we minister to each other and work with each other, and we really care about the needs that are going on. Somebody else take care of that. Well, folks, that somebody else may need to be you. We need to take a look at that. We need to pray for revival at Wilsonville Baptist Church. I'm hoping that you're praying for revival and not just for next week, but for something that begins this morning, right now, in this service, and is ongoing, that does not stop, but continues on. Something that begins to grow in our church family. But folks, that's only going to happen when we begin to realize that individuals need revival. Individuals. That's where it's going to begin. You need revival. When we can come to a point where we can say, I'm not where I need to be as a Christian. And folks, every one of us can say that and be honest about it. I'm not where I need to be. I have not grown in the ways that I need to grow. I have not done the things that I need to do. In Psalm chapter 51, this is one of my favorite scriptures when I look at repentance, when I look at how God works in our lives. Verse 7, he says, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, we know David's praying that prayer after his sin with Bathsheba. He's committed adultery. He's committed basically murder. He has come to a point where he's broken. He has had a friend that has opened his eyes to the things that are taking place. And here he finally comes to a point where he's admitting his sin to God. Not the sins of the nation. Not the sins of what everybody else in the world are doing. David has finally gotten to a point where he says, create in me a clean heart. Now notice how he prays that prayer. He doesn't just come to that prayer and say, God, clean this up. Wash it off. Make it where the dirt doesn't show anymore. He said, God, take this out and create in me a new heart. That word create means to make something out of nothing. He's saying to God, don't work with the heart I've got because I have totally messed it up. But put something new in there. Put something clean in there. I need a new start. I need a new beginning, and I need it to begin now. He's come before God, open and honest about what's going on in his life. And he's gotten on his knees before God. How long has it been since you got before God on your knees, confessing the real sins of your life? Opening your life up to God to do a work within you that only He can do. Create in me a clean heart. We need God to cleanse our hearts today. We need to change our focus. We need to change our focus. A few weeks ago, I'm leaving choir on Wednesday night. Matt hurt my feelings. Somebody ever hurt your feelings? Matt hurt my feelings. As I walked out the door, he said, how's your day? I said, it's been a good day. He said, I thought it had been a good day because you're smiling. I started thinking about that a little bit. Used to, people expected that smile to be there all the time. I walk down the hall with a smile. I'd be at the store with a smile. Wherever I was at, I had a smile. And Matt was talking and let me see that my smile was missing. Something had happened to my smile. Something had happened to my joy. My focus needed to change. You see, what I began to realize is I get to thinking sometimes just like everybody else. Nobody cares. Nobody's working. Nobody's doing. Nobody notices. Spent some time in prayer. Spent some time taking a look at where my focus was. And sometimes our focus goes from God to me. Sometimes we need our feelings to get hurt. Sometimes we need somebody to say something to us that makes us step back and take a look at who we are and why we're doing what we're doing. It's a joy to be your pastor. It's a joy to serve in this community. It's a joy to tell people about Jesus. It's a joy to preach. It's a joy to be in the will of God. David goes on to write in verses 11 and 12, he says, do not cast away your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Look at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Restore to me the joy. Well, how does he restore the joy? Well, as I confess my sin before him, and turn my life to him, and make the focus of my life Jesus, realizing that he has paid it all for me. And it is an honor to be a servant of the King. Change my focus. Change my focus from my sin to your forgiveness. As I confess it, he forgives it. He washes it away. So I can change my focus from my past to his future. to what He has in store, to how He can work in my life in such great, great ways. We as a church need to pray for revival. Pray for revival in my life. In my life. Don't blame it on anybody else or anything else. Because God wants to do a work in you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, He says, if my people, my people. He's talking about Christians here. He's talking about the church here. I know this is Old Testament passage. He's talking about the nation of Israel. We are that nation now. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray. Guys, if we're going to get real about the sin in our lives, in our church, in our community, we've got to get real with God and humble ourselves. Because it takes humility to see ourselves as we really are. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Guys, we've been looking in all the wrong places for revival to take place. We've been looking for a president. We've been looking for a government. We've been looking for a community. It's time to start looking where revival really begins, and that's in individuals. Most revivals are going to begin in one individual and spread to somebody else and spread to somebody else and continue to grow until we become who we need to be. Guys, I want to invite you today to humble yourself before God and come to this altar. Confess your sin before Him and truly pray for revival. I wonder this morning, will you come? There may be those here who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I invite you to come. Father, as we come before you right now, we pray that as you work in our hearts and in our lives, that you would help us to be humble enough and allow you to do the work in us that only you can do. Father, as we look around at so many things going on, we realize the need for revival.